Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Indira Lakshmanan of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, and this is On Point. The controversial Republican House intelligence memo is out, but the fight over it is far from over. President Trump says he's vindicated, that the memo proves the FBI abused its power to target his campaign. Democrats say the memo is nothing but partisan talking points meant to delegitimize Bob Mueller's investigation. This hour on Point, the Republican memo revealed and what it means for President Trump, the FBI, and the Russia probe. You can join us on air or online. What do you think of the Nunes memo? Does it vindicate the president? Does it tarnish the FBI? Or does it just add fuel to obstruction of justice fire? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me first from Washington is Jonathan Landay, national security reporter for Reuters. Jonathan, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Indira.
Hi. So remind listeners who may not follow every twist of Capitol Hill intrigue and every turn of the Russia probe, who is Devin Nunes and why did his staff write this memo?
So Devin Nunes is the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, who, at least as of last year, said that he was recusing himself from the investigation that the House committee was conducting into alleged Russian interference in the election of 2016. And what U.S. intelligence officials say was a Russian information and influence operation that was aimed at swinging the vote to Donald Trump. And yet, there have been several instances, the memo being the latest, that show that Chairman Nunes clearly has not renounced himself or pulled himself out of the investigation. The memo purports to be an attempt to show that the rights of an American citizen, that would be Carter Page, a former campaign aide, campaign advisor to the Trump campaign, that his rights were violated in when the FBI and the Justice Department went to a secret court known as the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, seeking a warrant in October of 2016 to eavesdrop on Mr. Page. It should be noted that this was after Mr. Page left the Trump campaign. And again, what this memo purports is that the Justice Department and the FBI went beyond their powers, abused their powers in seeking this warrant against Mr. Page.
And John, just to explain, you were saying that Devin Nunes had supposedly recused himself from the Russia investigation. And that's, of course, to remind our listeners, because last March he said that he had classified intelligence which he had taken to the White House that was relevant to the Russia probe and was clearing President Trump. But in fact, it turned out that that was intelligence the White House had given to him and told him to spread around, correct? So he had to technically step down from being in charge of the House Intel Committee's probe into Russian interference in our election.
That's correct. And sources have told me and other journalists that this information, in fact, was not surveillance directly of people involved in the Trump campaign, but mentions of the Trump campaign and individuals who were involved in it that were picked up by U.S. intelligence surveillance of foreigners. And I suspect, I know that those foreigners were Russians. So those are what's known as incidental collections. In other words, they're not collections directed at America, in this case, Americans involved with the Trump campaign, but there were collections against foreigners who were bringing up the names of perhaps of Donald Trump and other people associated with his campaign.
Well, I want to let our listeners know that just now at 10:08 a.m., the president has tweeted, Representative Devin Nunes, a man of tremendous courage and grit, may someday be recognized as a capital great American hero for what he has exposed and what he has had to endure. And I also want to let our listeners know that they can find the memo and read read it for themselves on our website, onpointradio.org. Well, Jonathan, I just want to say that on Friday, when President Trump declassified the memo, he told White House reporters that the memo proves bias at the FBI.
It's a disgrace what's happening in our country. And when you look at that and you see that and so many other things, what's going on, a lot of people should be ashamed of themselves and much worse than that.
Jonathan, does he have a point?
Well, I think the president is trying to make the case, as does the memo, that this bias stems from, as the memo puts it, the Department of Justice's and the FBI's failure to disclose to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court judge in seeking the original warrant that application was based in part on the so-called Steele dossier. Now, this dossier was put together by a former British intelligence professional who specialized in Russia, and it purports to catalog serious questions about President Trump and his connections and business dealings with Russians. Now, the fact is that we have learned since the memo came out that, according to officials at the Justice Department and the FBI, as well as to Mr. Nunes's Democratic counterpart, Adam Schiff, that in fact the department and the FBI did disclose the nature of this Steele document, in that it was commissioned in part with funds from the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's campaign. There's a big but here. First of all, we know that this was only part of the material that was submitted to the judge on the first FISA warrant, that there was other classified material that was submitted as well. We also know, I have been told by knowledgeable sources who have seen some of this material, that the material that was the small amount of a Steele dossier material on Carter Page that was submitted as part of this warrant application had been corroborated by U.S. Intelligence and law enforcement agencies, or foreign or allied intelligence or law enforcement agencies. That's the first point. The second point is that the FISA court judge saw this material from the Steele dossier, as well as the other material that was submitted, and we don't know what that is, and found that there was probable cause to believe that Mr. Page was a foreign agent, was an agent of a foreign power, and went ahead and approved the warrant, the original warrant in October of 2016. So if there is corruption involved here, as the Republican memo purports, then we would also have to believe that the FISA court judge himself was either not doing his job properly or involved in the corruption. And there's no suggestion whatsoever in any of this. And the final point is that every 90 days when the FBI, when the government obtains a warrant to survey an American citizen under FISA, they must go back to the FISA court every 90 days to renew if they want a renewal of their warrant. Now, we know the FBI and the Justice Department went back to ask for a renewal of the original warrant three times, and three times the FISA court agreed to renew the warrant. Now, when they go back under FISA, under this act, it's fairly complicated stuff. When you go back, when the government goes back to the FISA court to try to obtain a renewal of an original warrant, they must show to the court that the original warrant produced actionable foreign intelligence.
Right. And so it's not just based, Jonathan, on the original information they brought for the first FISA application. Any renewal requires that they show they actually got something out of that initial surveillance. I mean, it makes me think of their Asha Rangappa, who's a former FBI agent who regularly applied for FISA warrants in her job, wrote in the Washington Post this weekend that the FBI didn't base its FISA warrant just on the so-called Michael Steele dossier, that, as you say, it takes months or even years to get enough evidence for FISA warrants, and that back in 2013, the FBI had warned Carter Page that the Russian government was trying to recruit him as an agent. One thing that struck me from reading the memo was that it seems to reveal that fellow Trump advisor George Papadopoulos, who has pled guilty in Mueller's probe, it was information from him that prompted the FBI's surveillance of Carter Page during the 2016 campaign. So, Jonathan, why does it matter who funded the dossier if the FBI's information came from other sources as well?
Well, that's the point. And then there again, there were three subsequent renewals of this warrant based on the collection from the previous warrant and then the previous renewal that the FBI had collected actionable foreign intelligence that supported probable cause that Carter Page was an agent working on behalf of a foreign power. And my understanding is that the warrant that was the original warrant was approved, and then the three renewals were all done by different FISA court judges, all of whom appointed by the current Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
All right. Let's take a quick call from Jim, who's calling us from Sandusky, Ohio. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, Indira.
Hi.
I'm of the opinion that everybody's missing the point about the memo, and that is that Carter Page had been under surveillance for so long that he may be the missing gun that proves collusion, and the Trump administration is trying to suppress that file and testimony.
All right. Thank you for your call, Jim. John, does Jim have a point here? Or, you know, are we missing the point that the FBI was perhaps reckless in trying to surveil an American citizen?
No, I think Jim's point is a good one. Again, going back to the FISA, the act itself requires the government to show both for the original warrant and then the three, in this case, three subsequent renewals, that there was probable cause to believe that Carter Page was acting on behalf of a foreign power. Now, whether or not that was that he was sort of the missing link to prove collusion, that is something that the memo doesn't show, and we simply don't know at the moment.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that after the break. I'm Indira Lakshmanan, and this is On Point.
This episode of On Point is supported by 23andMe. This Valentine's Day, give someone special a DNA kit from 23andMe. They can receive over 75 detailed online reports about their genetic ancestry, inherited traits, and even information about their health. Go to 23andMe.com/onpoint to get 20% off each kit, now through February 14th. Offer includes free gift wrap.
You have access to the entire world of NPR with your smart speaker. Ask it to play NPR or your local NPR station to check the news while you get ready for work or fix dinner. There's a new radio in your house, and it's easier than ever to listen to Morning Edition, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and more. Just ask your smart speaker to play NPR or your local NPR station.
This is Indira Lakshmanan, and this is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Republican memo and what it means for the FBI and the Mueller investigation. You can join our conversation. Should Democrats be allowed to release their own memo? Does the Nunes memo reveal wrongdoing at the FBI? Tweet us or send us a message on Facebook at On Point Radio. I've been speaking with Jonathan Landay, national security correspondent for Reuters. Jonathan, please stand by, because joining us now from Jonesboro, Arkansas, is Republican Congressman Rick Crawford of Arkansas's 1st District. He's a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and he voted with his GOP colleagues to release the memo. Congressman Crawford, welcome to On Point.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us why you voted for this memo to be released. What did you feel was important for the American public to know?
Well, I think we reached a point in our investigation where we found some things that we needed to share with our colleagues. Our colleagues felt that there was a need to share that with the American people. And I think people need to understand that while we exercise oversight authority over federal agencies, there are no federal agencies that are exempt from that oversight. So if we see wrongdoing, regardless of what the federal agency is, we have an obligation to bring that forward. And at the same time, balancing the national security concerns that may be presented when we're dealing with an agency like the FBI or the DOJ. And so that was done. It was given due consideration. We wanted to make sure that we weren't disclosing any kinds of sources and methods or anything that might create a national security issue. And it was the general consensus among our colleagues that this should be something that was sent to the president and given the authority to go public with.
Congressman, I want to ask you, the FBI and the Department of Justice vehemently opposed the release of the memo. They said that it left out key information and painted a very misleading picture. Former CIA Director John Brennan spoke to Meet the Press yesterday, and he said this memo was an abuse of power.
The fact that Devin Nunes and Republicans denied the ability of the minority, the Democratic members of that committee, to put out its report is just appalling. And I think it really underscores just how partisan Mr. Nunes has been. He has abused the office of the chairmanship of HPSC. And I don't say that lightly.
How do you respond to the former CIA director?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate that he chooses to use that kind of inflammatory rhetoric in describing Chairman Nunes and really the committee in general, particularly targeting Republicans. But I would point out that there's no move to try and suppress the Democrat memo. In fact, it was Chairman Nunes who introduced the motion to release the memo to the general membership of the House. And so we're not trying to suppress anything. What we're trying to do is to make sure that each member gets the opportunity to view each memo. And at some point in time, I think very soon, in fact, maybe as early as today, there may be a vote to release their memo to the general public as well, or at least send it to the president for his consideration. So,
well, there actually was, Congressman. Last Monday, the Democrats on the House Intel Committee did try to have their memo released at the same time. And as I understand it, that motion was voted down last Monday. Did you vote with the Republicans who did not want to release the Democratic memo last week? And if so, will you change your vote today?
Well, the circumstances have changed. What happened in that committee hearing, and it was an open hearing, so the transcript, I believe, is already released and posted. There was an amendment offered to Chairman Nunes's motion to release the memo, and that amendment from the Democrat side said we want to release it now, today, as is, and we didn't do that with our memo. So why would we do it with theirs? I mean, the fact of the matter is that it does need to be reviewed and make sure that there's no sources and methods released and that there's no compromise of national security. And so also we wanted to make sure that members got a chance to review it before the general public did, so they were prepared for it. So I don't think there's any issue with the timeline here. And certainly after we've scrubbed it for sources and methods or any compromise of national security, I would support the release to the general public as well.
All right. We have David calling us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, with a question for the congressman. David, go ahead.
Hi, Indira. I think, you know, the congressman is missing the real point here. To me, the only rational Republican left is John McCain, and as he well pointed out, attacking, you know, our security forces, the FBI and such, just plays into Putin's hand. He's the only winner here, and Nunes has proven that he is not credible. I mean, he was part of this fiasco last March. And in fact, for the congressman to say that they held back the Democratic response so that it could be vetted is a joke, because Nunes changed what was already approved before he sent it to the White House. So this is just all more smoke and mirrors in my mind, because the Republicans that have come around to Trump are realizing that their party is in deep trouble here.
Congressman?
Well, I was waiting for a question in there, and there wasn't one, so I'll just respond to that kind of rhetoric. It's completely false and driven by talking points from the DNC.
So how do you respond, though, to the larger point that, you know, that the Law and Order Party, the Republicans, are imperiling intelligence and imperiling the idea of people bringing forward information that to the FBI, which they now fear might get released? We have one of our listeners on Facebook, Eric Horstmeyer, who says, what has become of the Law and Order Party? What world intelligence organization is going to feel comfortable sharing intel with this government now?
Well, I think people are missing the picture here, missing the big point. There are roughly about five individuals that are being considered in this investigation. We're not investigating or castigating or deriding the entire FBI or the DOJ. That's not what this is about. But if we uncover wrongdoing and don't disclose that and don't take action to address it, then are we ourselves engaging in wrongdoing? So are you suggesting that we just turn the other way? Well, if we see something wrong, say, well, it's the FBI, so they don't have to follow the rules.
So to be clear here,
the way, if the FBI does something wrong or if the DOJ does something wrong, who polices the FBI and the DOJ if not the Congress?
So absolutely, it's your job to police the DOJ and the FBI. And let me ask you, do you feel that, I mean, have you read the underlying intelligence on which this Nunes memo is based? Because it was reported that only Adam Schiff, the Democratic ranking member, and Trey Gowdy, one of your Republican colleagues, are the only two who actually read the underlying intel, that even Devin Nunes himself did not read it. So how do you know if the FISA warrant did not actually include a lot more than just a reference to this dossier?
What you did was basically just illustrate the whole problem, is that we tried since March to get this information from DOJ, and they would not release it to us. Finally, we had to subpoena the information, and they ignored that. Further, DOJ officials went around the subpoena and went to the Speaker of the House and asked him to override the committee so that they wouldn't have to disclose. And ultimately, what was come to was an agreement for a reading room, which was established for a select number of members to come and view the requested documents. And so Devin Nunes, because Trey Gowdy is an experienced federal prosecutor, he designated him for the majority for Trey Gowdy to go over and view the documents. And so the information underlying this memo is based on, I believe, the sound judgment of someone who's got years of experience as a federal prosecutor and knows these issues very well, and presented that to our conference. And that's what underlies the memo. And it's a four-page memo. Surely there's more information out there. Yes. But what we're not trying to do is disclose sources and methods. We're trying to cursory look at some very serious problems as the DOJ and the FBI sought to acquire FISA warrants, which we believe were inappropriately requested.
I want to remind our listeners that you can read the memo in its entirety on our website, onpointradio.org. Congressman, the president tweeted that the memo totally vindicates him, and he called the Mueller probe a witch hunt. Four of your GOP colleagues on the Intel Committee say that that's not true, that the Mueller probe doesn't just go away now, and that Mueller's investigation must go on. In fact, Trey Gowdy, who we were just talking about, spoke with CBS's Face the Nation yesterday. Let's listen.
Keep these three things disconnected. Bob Mueller is looking into what Russia did in 2016 and potential criminality, as evidenced by the Papadopoulos plea and the Flynn plea. Congress is looking into what Russia did in 2016. But, oh, by the way, it's also, you can do that and also be critical mm-hmm. of the use of the dossier and the failure to tell the FISA court all relevant material facts. You can do all three, and that's where I am.
All right. So, Congressman, who's right, the president or Trey Gowdy and other GOP colleagues who say the probe must continue?
Well, I'm gonna side with Trey Gowdy on this, and here's why. This memo was never about trying to vindicate or exonerate the president, and it's not about trying to muddy the water for the Mueller investigation. This was the discovery of some impropriety with regard to requests for FISA warrants, and we have constitutional responsibility to exercise oversight to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again. So if we're, in fact, you could even make the argument that this provides more integrity into the Mueller investigation if you wanted to. I mean, the reality is we're not trying to stop the Mueller investigation. That's not the point of this memo, and it's not to try and exonerate anyone or to vindicate anyone in any way. That's not the point. The point is simply to illustrate that officials, a handful of officials, exhibited a political bias in the exercise of a request for a FISA warrant.
Congressman Rick Crawford of Arkansas, Republican member of the House Intelligence Committee, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
We'll be joined now from Washington by Democratic Congresswoman Jackie Speier from California's 14th District. She's also on the House Intel Committee. But before we go to her, John Landay of Reuters, you've been listening in. Just quickly, what is your take on what the congressman said about the bid by the Democrats to release their own memo? He said, no, we're not going to stop them. You've reported that maybe there's going to be another attempt today to declassify the Democrats' version of the memo.
So one thing that needs to be stressed is the congressman said that the committee voted to release did not stop the release of the Democratic memo. In fact, what I've got a copy of the committee the transcript of that business meeting right here, and the Democrats, what they proposed was that both memos be submitted to the Department of Justice and the FBI to be scrubbed for classified material together, and then they should be released together. That was what the Republicans stopped, according to the transcript that I have sitting here on the desk.
All right. So we'll get back to that, Jonathan. I want to bring in Congresswoman Speer. Welcome to On Point. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, Andera.
I want to ask you, you know, Republicans like your colleague who was just on the line with us, Rick Crawford, say that this memo proves the FBI was biased against Donald Trump even before the election. Is there any truth to that?
Actually, you know, standing from a Democratic point of view, you could argue that the FBI was biased against Hillary Clinton because 10 days before the election, they reopened the investigation into her emails, which had to have a profound effect on her election results. So, you know, this is pure and simple a political gesture, ham-handedly as it is, by our colleagues on the other side. You know, I have a great deal of admiration for Trey Gowdy, who I think is, you know, a straight shooter most of the time. And, you know, he is making it very clear, giving new marching orders to the Republicans that you can't say that we are trying to impede the Mueller investigation. I mean, they've stepped all over themselves and I think now are trying to, you know, take it back. The Democrats, I might add, probably overreacted. We were just so disturbed by the fact that sources and methods were being revealed. It's such I'm trying to think of how I can put it succinctly. It's a lack of appreciation for the importance of the classifications and the fact that the intelligence community is charged with the responsibility of protecting us. And U.S. persons who are being surveilled are subject to the visa court, except for what's called Section 702. So,
all right. Before we go too deep in the woods on that, Congresswoman, I want to bring in a caller so that you know, you have a chance to respond to them. Jack is calling us from Dover, Maine. Jack, go ahead. I know you have a question for the Congresswoman.
Hi, Indira.
Hi.
My question is, why is it that so much is classified? I look at the JFK files, which are like 90% still redacted and classified, and this happened like over 50 years ago. I believe the people should be getting a lot more disclosure of what's been happening, especially stuff that's happened a long time ago. But for this particular event, we should have a bit more information, especially from both sides, the Democrats and the Republicans.
All right. Congresswoman, what do you say to that?
So I think that Jack is on the money. I think that, in fact, there probably is overclassification that goes on. Certainly when I'm in the Intelligence Committee, things that are classified, I sometimes shake my head and say, why can't we make this public? But that should be the subject of a long-term evaluation. What didn't happen here is we didn't do oversight, and that's important for your listeners to understand. If we were really concerned about why this particular individual was surveilled and why it was classified, we should have hauled in the agencies and had them speak to the committees. There was no willingness to do any of that. It was, in fact, being done as an effort to shut down the Mueller investigation and to vindicate the president. And certainly that was the talking points he used on Twitter over the weekend.
All right. Well, Congressman, we have a lot of listeners writing to us on Twitter and Facebook who definitely agree with you, but not all of them do. We have one listener on Facebook, Eric Hines, who says the FBI politicized itself, discussed the text messages between the FBI agent and his mistress, who was a lawyer at the FBI. Or how about switch the players in this fiasco and see how it would be playing in the media? Another listener, Alton R. Hughes II, says the level of Democrat self-deception is breathtaking. The Nunes memo is just the tip of the iceberg. Wait until the actual FISA warrant, Strozek and Page's texts. I think he's referring to the FBI agent and I guess Carter Page's texts. And Hillary's lost emails are released. So what do you say to that, Congresswoman?
So I have reviewed the text messages of the two persons that are referenced in many of your requests for information, and I would say that they were very agitated about a lot of people, not just Donald Trump, and I think that they were imprudent using the texting options on their phones that were government issue. I would venture to say that we would see some of that on the other side of the aisle as well. We can't take away the individual's right to have opinions. And in this case, they were expressing them on government-issued phones.
Congresswoman Jackie Speier of California, Democratic member of the House Intel Committee, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. This is On Point.
I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Join me on NPR's Ask Me Another as we challenge contestants and celebrities to nerdy word games, music parodies, and punterful trivia. Find us every week on the NPR One app and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. We're talking this hour about the Nunes memo and Robert Mueller's investigation into possible Russia collusion or obstruction of justice. You can join our conversation. Is the president's fight with the nation's law enforcement the right fight, or does it worry you? What do you think about Russian Twitter bots, along with Trump fans, pushing the hashtag Release the Memo? Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Jonathan Landay is with me from Reuters. From Washington, he's a Reuters national security correspondent. And joining us now from New York is Tim Weiner, a former national security correspondent for The New York Times and author of Enemies, A History of the FBI, and One Man Against the World, The Tragedy of Richard Nixon. Tim, welcome to On Point.
Hello, Indira.
Hi. So I want to ask you, Tim, do you think that House Republicans and the president have succeeded in casting doubt on the FBI's professionalism and impartiality here? And will this undermine the credibility of Robert Mueller's investigation?
No and no. What they've succeeded in doing is to mount a propaganda attack on not only the FBI as an institution, but upon its leaders. Trump is at it again today, as he was over the weekend, mounting personal attacks on the people who are investigating him. And he must understand that Robert Mueller is getting mighty close to the Oval Office, and he must feel the hot breath of Mueller's bloodhounds on his neck. I think he's panicking and lashing out as the investigation gets closer and closer to the Oval Office.
Well, you've used a lot of dramatic words there, but it is true that Mueller has indicted four people, and one has to wonder, after looking at this memo and the information that they were using for this FISA warrant, whether Carter Page might be another person who certainly was a target. The FBI apparently informed him as early as 2013 that Russian agents were trying to recruit him. So it's an interesting perspective. Let's bring in a caller. Steve is calling us from Natick, Massachusetts. Steve, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for letting me be part of this.
Absolutely.
I believe this whole attack on the FISA and the dossier is a backdoor way to unravel the whole investigation. They're trying to make it sound like it's targeting biased in certain individuals. But really, the truth is, I believe the dossier is very important, and they know this, so they're attacking this. And to say that Mr. Steele was biased, or even these FBI agents were biased, look, they are privy to information that we're not. They see lots of stuff, and I do believe if I saw that same stuff, and I was even a Republican, like most of the lead investigators are on this, that looking at this information, I would then think that Mr. Trump would not be proper you know, candidate to be president. So to say they're biased, you know, like I said, most of the lead investigators are Republicans.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. I get your point there. Tim, you have gotten to know so many FBI agents in the course of working on your book on the history of the FBI. Is there any truth to what our caller was saying?
Well, he definitely has a point. And he would be bolstered by seeing a remarkable piece on the blog Lawfare that went up this morning. They obtained through Freedom of Information Act requests the real-time text messages and emails that people sent at the FBI when Trump fired Jim Comey last year. The shock, the anger, the horror that rank-and-file FBI agents felt when when Comey was fired, is amazing. If Trump continues to go after Chris Wray, the head of the FBI, goes after Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein as a way of getting to Bob Mueller, you're going to see pushback that will boggle the mind from the Bureau, from the Justice Department, and I think from the American people.
That's fascinating. Lawfare blog is, of course, one that was started by both Republican and Democratic lawyers. So including, you know, some who are professors at Harvard and have written out saying that Trump's release of this dossier is wrong. Jonathan, I want to talk to you about the hashtag that got a lot of traction online. And it was one of the pressures, this hashtag release the memo. Hamilton 68, a website that tracks Russian propaganda, says that the release of the memo was by far the most popular hashtag used by Russia-linked Twitter bots last week. So it's not just Fox News and Sean Hannity who are pushing out release the memo. It was Russian bots. What's the significance of that?
Well, the significance is that it shows what the CIA director Mike Pompeo said to the BBC last week, and that is that Russia, he believes Russia, has intensified or is intensifying its interference in the 2018 U.S. Midterm elections. And in fact, I was on Hamilton 68 over the last 24 hours, and Release the Memo is still up among the most tweeted hashtags or that this site tracks in terms of Russian-linked social media. It's quite astounding. And then the other subjects, the other hashtags that are being retweeted or posted on social media are all related, for the most part, to the memo as well.
Well, the president, of course, as Tim mentioned, fired FBI Director Jim Comey last year. He's pushed out a number of other senior officials, including Acting Attorney General Sally Yates and Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, who left just last week. There's been a lot of reporting that he wanted to fire not only Robert Mueller, but Rod Rosenstein. And he told reporters who asked him on Friday whether he would fire the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. You figure that one out. It doesn't really sound like a vote of confidence. Tim, you've written about Nixon. Is what's happening now in America a sort of slow motion Saturday night massacre?
Well, it looks like fast forward right now. We are one tweet away from reenacting the Saturday Night Massacre, in which Nixon keel-hauled the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General in order to fire the Watergate special prosecutor. It may well come to that. And within the next few weeks, Mueller is going to see if he can get the president to sit down and submit to an interview. The president, who lies for sport habitually by the Washington Post's count approximately eight times a day over the first year in office, is in grave danger if he sits down with Mueller. Lying to Mueller would be a felony offense. He has already obstructed justice by firing Comey to try and stop the Russia investigation. And we need to keep in mind what the Russians were trying to accomplish when they attacked our electoral system. They wanted to disrupt American democracy. They've succeeded beyond their wildest dreams.
Well, yeah, that Washington Post fact check you were talking about was, I think, on average, it was about 5 times a day over the course of last year, but 9 times a day in the last 2 months of the year. Let's take a call from Kevin, who's calling us from Monroe, North Carolina. Kevin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
My question is that if they're putting out information to derail the Mueller investigation, false information at that, at what point does that become criminal activity?
All right. Good question. John, can you answer that?
Well, I think that it doesn't, given the immunity that members of Congress that accrue to members of Congress in the performance of their official duties. So I'm not sure that will come to pass. But one interesting thing that has started happening, and it began, I think, with the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and with Trey Gowdy, and we started seeing Republicans moving away from the idea that this memo constitutes grounds on which to fire either Rod Rosenstein and then by extension Bob Mueller. Why is that? Because in the lead up to the release of this memo, we were hearing many Republicans, not just in the media, but members of Congress suggesting that this was bigger than Watergate. It's going to be it's just going to be absolutely explosive to our democracy. And then you started hearing voices in the conservative media saying, well, we have to, Mueller and Rosenstein have to be fired immediately. And the investigation stopped. That's not what we started hearing from senior Republicans and then other Republicans. You had one on the program earlier. That's not what we're hearing now. We're hearing, well, the memo is out there purportedly documenting abuses of the FISA of the FISA process. But you're also hearing from most Republicans, I think, or many Republicans, it's still not grounds on which to stop the Mueller investigation. So if the president thinks that he's got the political support and the ground on which to do that, I think that may be a major miscalculation on his part.
Well, Tim, let me ask you about miscalculations, because we had a Democratic Congresswoman Jackie Speier from the House Intel Committee on, and she said that perhaps the Democrats exaggerated the danger to national security or the constitutional crisis aspect that would happen if the memo was released. But at the same time, did the Republicans exaggerate the extent to which this memo shows some sort of malfeasance at the FBI? You know, a lot of people, this memo has come out, and a lot of nonpartisan people have sort of looked at it and gone kind of meh, you know, like, is there that much there? So, you know, you wrote in the New York Times last week that President Trump will lose in a confrontation with the FBI. Why?
Well, as former FBI Director Jim Comey tweeted out a couple of days ago, weasels and liars don't win in the end. And the rule of law in this country is still stronger than the power of the president. No president is above the law, as Richard Nixon found out to his shame and disgrace. If this president thinks he can fire his way out of this crisis by decapitating the FBI and the Justice Department, he has another think coming. The Mueller investigation will continue regardless. The FBI will pursue the case until the end of time or until the end of Trump, whichever comes first.
Unless, of course, Mueller gets fired by Rosenstein or Rosenstein gets fired by Trump. You know, there's of course, the possibility of that. We know from reporting that the president did consider firing Bob Mueller last year and apparently was stopped from doing so only because White House counsel Don McGahn said that he would resign if the president did that. So it and of course, White House counsel Don McGahn is the same person who put a letter out with the release of this memo justifying its release.
Indira, the president can send a tank down Pennsylvania Avenue and blow up the FBI headquarters. FBI field agents throughout the country will continue with this investigation. In this country, the rule of law has always been stronger than any one president. And this president will find that the rule of law will take him to task for his violations of his oath of office, to take care that the laws are faithfully executed.
All right. I want to bring in another caller, Mark from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Mark, go ahead.
I wish they'd just release everything, both sides, you know, because American people, let them decide what's right and what's wrong here, because, I mean, there's just too much talk on both sides, fighting back and forth. Let it all be released and let the American people figure it out.
All right. Thank you very much for your comment. All right, John, what do you think about that? What about just release it all? Congressman Nunes, for one, said that he's in phase two of his investigation and that more will be coming. What's he talking about and should it all be released?
Well, I don't think you're going to see it all released because there's very highly classified material involved here that involves, sources and methods that are used to monitor communications between foreign agents, between people who would do the United States no good whatsoever. As far as the next phase, let me just bring one more thing up. I think what we need to look for in the next week, we have a vote this evening, within the House intelligence community to release the Democratic memo, the rebuttal to the Republican memo, using the same obscure rule and process that the Republican memo is released under. That means it goes to President Trump for a review, for a security review. The big question for some people on the committee is, A, whether or not the Republicans will vote just to release the memo as it is, or whether or not they will vote to make changes, to make redactions, to basically censor parts of the memo, to water it down. And then the question is whether or not President Trump could do the same. And there's a great deal of concern among some members of the committee that that's what we could see happen.
All right. Let me just bring in a couple of voices here from some of our other listeners. Scott Burke on Facebook said, why did the Democrats oppose the release of this memo? All they did was make it seem more important than it really is. If they had just demanded its release as soon as it was written, they could have effectively shown it was just another piece of Republican propaganda. Kathleen Francesca says on Facebook, if this had anything to do with oversight, they would have used proper procedure and called in the agencies like the FBI to question them under oath. This is nothing but a piece of propaganda. If the interest is transparency, release the other memo. All right, Tim, I want to ask you. So critics say that this memo doesn't prove FBI wrongdoing. It's just a naked attempt to sow doubt and suspicion about facts in the Mueller probe. What do you say to that?
The critics are correct. It is propaganda. To believe it, you would have to believe that the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, the FBI Director Chris Wray, his predecessor Jim Comey, and the federal judge in the matter all sat down over a beer and said to one another, hey, I know what, let's defraud the FISA court in order to screw President Trump. That didn't happen. We need to step back and look at the big picture, which is the Russians have attacked American democracy, and they are being aided and abetted by members of Congress.
We will keep talking about that. Tim Weiner, author of Enemies, A History of the FBI. Also, Jonathan Lande, national security reporter for Reuters. Thank you both so much for joining me. You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org, and you can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Coming up tomorrow, President Trump wants to expand the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Is it a new kind of nuclear arms race? I'm Indira Lakshmanan, and this is On Point.